Aging also nudges us to become more farsighted, both literally and figuratively. Literally, in the sense that changes in our eyes, and I'm sure there's people in the room can attest to this, make it more difficult for us to see things close up than things far away. So we have to fold the newspaper out like that, okay, to make sense of it. But aging also nudges us to be more farsighted. And by the way, the condition that's involved here is presbyopia, is one of the words that can be used, okay, for that ability or the inability to see things as well close up as far away. But aging also nudges us to be more farsighted in a figurative way, because it does invite us, as I'll say more about shortly, to take that long view that Dad used to like to take. It nudges us to see things and understand things that we couldn't see or couldn't understand when we were younger because we were too close to them. Aging nudges us, and I'm nursing a bit of a cold here, folks, so if my voice sort of deteriorates into graveliness, that's what's going on.
Would you like water, Bill?
I would, but where would I put it?
I don't know. I'll figure it out.
Aging nudges us to be more open to and more patient with the gray areas of life, not need things to be quite so black and white and right and wrong. It nudges us to be more comfortable with the questions, with not knowing, not needing to have hard and fast answers to everything, more tolerant of uncertainty and ambiguity in ourselves, in other people, in life generally, more able to see the yin and yang of things, and more open and more responsive to metaphor and symbol. A capacity, by the way, that psychologists of aging call post-formal thinking. And I often think that many churches have a preponderance of older adults in them because older adults get it. More so than maybe younger people do. They get the power of metaphor and symbol. And religious language, as we know, is rich, abundant with metaphor and symbol. Aging nudges us as well to become thicker, in the sense of more thicker emotionally. Thank you very much, Jean. And it also nudges us, generally, to have better control of our emotions than we did in the stormy days of our youth, or our teenage years, okay? It enables us to lighten up. Gerontologists call this the positivity bias, the capacity to focus more on positive emotions and positive memories, not to ignore the negative things, but to opt more for staying with the positive. And apparently that's due in part to better cooperation between the left and the right hemispheres of our aging brains, so say the neuroscientists who study aging. And I'm not a neuroscientist, I probably need one, but I'm not one myself. Here I can recommend the work of the late Gene Cohen. Some of you may be aware of his wonderful books, especially the book The Mature Mind and The Positive Power of the Aging Brain. Very optimistic books. Aging nudges us to delete things, activities, even relationships from our lives that weigh us down or bring us down or no longer really matter to us, to let go of them and to focus on those things that do matter. It's a kind of natural downsizing or decluttering, which is the phrase I'm hearing about these days. The gerontologists refer to with fancy phrases like social emotional selectivity and selective optimization with compensation. We have to make things so complicated. I hope you appreciate that I'm giving you a free course, well, not exactly free, but a fairly inexpensive course in jargon, okay? My mother has been very faithful as a kin keeper over the years in keeping touch with friends from the past. One particular friend with whom she's kept touch in the past is the friend that mother always calls, okay? And every time mother calls this friend, the friend asks, oh, I haven't heard from you for a long time, as if it was mother's fault. And mother wants to say, well, you got a phone too, you could pick it up. So I was visiting mother here within the last year, and she says, you know what, I'm not gonna call Beth anymore. I said, good for you, mother. social emotional selectivity, okay? It's not being unkind, it's just looking after her own needs, mother's own needs. I hope you don't think my mother's a terrible person, because she's not. At 97, she's pretty darn nice. Aging nudges us to turn inward and to live a more reflective life overall. Gerontologists call this, among other things, disengagement, which is a word that has a complex and controversial history in the field of gerontology. We don't like to use that, but I think there's still something going on. There is a sense in which we do disengage someone. And that leads to us focusing inward in a way that maybe we didn't so much when we were younger. I visited a woman in my congregation in Fredericton, New Brunswick, years ago. This would be back in the early 80s. And she was a painter. She had this wonderful house on the St. John River. And she sang in the choir as well. So I went to visit her one day. She had some health problems. And she said, "You know what, Bill? I've had a wonderful time lately here at home crawling up inside myself." I thought, wow, I love that image of crawling up inside myself. And as she put it, to kind of sort things out and think about things that otherwise she might be too busy to do. Aging nudges us to get to know ourselves better, to become ourselves, to pull ourselves together, so to speak, and to identify our unique legacy, not just the property and the possessions that we'll pass on to our children, but the peculiar collection of learnings and wonderings that we've gathered along life's way. In other words, our unique wisdom. Aging nudges us to explore our own unique life story. Now, this is my particular shtick. I'm quite enamored with this concept, as you'll hear if you come tomorrow, because it's in our story, not despite our story, but in our story, I believe, that our unique legacy and truth and wisdom lies. And that's the gist of the book called Ordinary Wisdom that I wrote with my colleague and friend Gary Kenyon. And that's a whole topic in itself. But if we can get our story out or write it down with the various lessons that we've learned along life's path, it could benefit somebody else, not just ourselves, but somebody else, our children, our grandchildren. For starters, thanks to the psychologist Erik Erikson, the fancy term that we have for this impulse that tends to increase as we get older, this impulse to pass on something of importance about our lives to those who come after us, is generativity. And there's a particular type of generativity that some talk about, narrative generativity. Passing on your story. To borrow from our First Nations brothers and sisters, aging also nudges us to grow into the role of elder, keepers of the stories, guardians of the wisdom. Whether or not our present day generation is ready for that or not. And I don't know if you can see that picture in the top left corner there. It's grandmother having a wonderful visit with her children and grandchildren at Christmas time or whatever, and there they're all, sure the picture's too small, but they're all looking at their cell phones, checking their text messages. And grandmother's wondering, well, what's the purpose of this get-together? Okay. How can I impart my wisdom to you if you're not listening? I'm going to also say that aging nudges us, and please don't take this the wrong way, aging nudges us to get off the bottle, by which I mean to stop bottling things up inside of us and to say what we wanted or needed to say, perhaps for some time, and to tell important people in our lives important things while there's still time to speak our truth, in love, of course. I want to just show you this picture here. This guy, Jean-Luc Guérin, is my new best friend, 85. I visited him and his wife, Stella, in their apartment in Shediac, New Brunswick, here a couple of weeks ago. I had met him a year ago, in September of 2017, when he had just published his memoir, his autobiography. I'm not sure if you understand French that well, but it's entitled L'Acadie au bout de ma route, Acadia at the end of my road. And he wrote this because of his involvement in a group of life writers that apparently is running through many francophone communities called J'écris ma vie.